Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Score! This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
I'm here to win games.
Important bears are talking, and when they talk, we listen. Ryan Poles, the general manager. Ian Cunningham, the assistant general manager, met the media today. This is brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, and it starts with Ian Cunningham delivering the opening statement.
Thank you guys for coming. It's good to see everybody. Just want to say there's an energy in this building this week with all the players coming back. They got back last Monday, so it's good to see some familiar faces. Get caught up with them, get to see some new faces, get to know them a little bit more. But that energy also is because of the draft this week. So we get a chance to add a few more players to this roster that we're excited about. Before we get going, I just want to say thank you. So bear with me a little bit, kind of like last year. Just first to Flus and the coaching staff. Obviously, we have a lot of new coaches, primarily on offensive staff, but a couple on defense as well. They've been awesome through this process, through free agency, with all the evaluations we've asked them to watch or do, as well as our draft process. These guys have worked tirelessly. A lot of hours that have been put into this. So just want to say thank you to them. Our personnel staff, in particular our college staff, Trey Koziel, Breck Ackley have done a tremendous job of really spearheading this whole thing. Can't thank them enough, our college scouts as well, just all the hours that they put on the road. Ryan and I both have done it. The sacrifice that their families have to make for us in order for us to be put in this position to do what we're going to do this weekend. Just want to make sure that we say thank you to them for their work. With Flus and Ryan, their leadership, it's a collaborative approach. So it does take a village. We lean a lot on all of our football ops staff. First, just want to say thank you to our video and our IT with Darby, their crew, Mike, his crew. We make a lot of tweaks throughout the year, and they've been really helpful in making our process a lot more efficient. Analytics with Krithi, Hubley, Andrea, with all the mock drafts and simulations we do, all the models, just the information in which they provide have been really helpful for us. Our medical staff, our trainers, Dre, Tim, our doctors, just providing us with the medical information in which we need. Our performance team, when we bring guys in on 30 visits, just them giving us insight in terms of growth potential for the players. Just want to make sure to note them. Our wellness team and engagement team, Carla, Andy, who's been great to get to know, along with Erica and Bryce, they do a lot for us, so want to say thank you to them, as well as Tarp and Pete with all the security information in which they provide us. Kyle, Jay, George, Miles, seems like they were in a triple threat position this whole offseason, just with all the travel that we've had to do. They've had to pivot. They've been flexible. Just want to make sure we highlight them. And last but not least, Ashton Washington, our scouting coordinator, does an incredible job of keeping us organized and aligned, as well as our three scouting assistants, Keith Earle, Jake Ponikvar, and David Dudek. These guys juggle a lot, We've both been there. It's a tough job. It's a thankless job. But it's been really cool to see their growth this year. And they all have a bright future in this league.
Awesome. Before I open up to questions, just also want to shout this guy out. I am blessed out of my socks to have him by my side through this process. Just especially when you reflect back to the first 2 years getting this thing off the ground. To have a guy like him, it's not a yes man, that keeps me in line when I start getting off track. To keep our staff together when I get pulled in different directions. We wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for Ian as well, being there and being an unbelievable partner. So,
thanks, Matt.
Yeah. So we'll open up to questions.
Ryan, you've had such a long process with this. Your pick is not contingent on what anyone else does. You have the top pick. Yep. You've talked throughout publicly as though Caleb is the plan. Are you set on making him your quarterback now?
So, unfortunately, it's one of those things I think everyone's got to tune in on Thursday to watch and figure out. But I feel really good about our process and where we are and where we're headed. So, we know what we're going to do. But everyone's going to have to wait till Thursday to go there.
What did you learn about him when he came to Allison, when you took him to dinner with a couple of your vets?
Yeah, I think it just confirmed a lot of the information that we got. There's a kind of testing where his football understanding is. That part, getting him with the coaches, that was a very positive interaction there. And then getting him with some of our players, that's important to us. We're in a really good place with our culture and our locker room. As much as I can, I want those guys a part of the process of building this team. I trust their feedback. And, I think that chemistry is really important. So that's why we did that.
How did that dinner work specifically? Are you at a different table or are you across the room?
Yeah, I was in a different room.
Different room? And okay.
Brian, does the league not want you to announce the pick or is that just your personal MO?
No one's told me, so it's my personal deal. And let's have some excitement on Thursday, right?
You said you wanted to get feedback from your players from their dinner with Caleb. What was the feedback that you got from them and from the coaches that worked with them?
Yeah, really intelligent guy. Came across as a really good teammate. Easy to talk to, down to earth. We've talked through this process about the whole Hollywood thing. He's all ball, wants to work, wants to get better, wants to win as a team. That's the number one thing for him, on top of being successful. So, I think the biggest thing is, like, does he fit in our culture and what we're trying to do? And all signs were that he does. So that was positive.
Ryan, I'm sure you guys have identified how many blue players you all feel are available at positions of need if you're in the top nine. And just because you all have the ninth pick, that's probably the most likely scenario that you pick there. But what would be the second most likely option? Would that be to move up for a guy you guys absolutely love or to fall back and get one of those guys?
Yeah, that's hard to answer right now. I think as the draft unfolds, there's going to be some indicators that kind of start to educate us on how we need to move to acquire the top talents in this draft.
If a trade back does kind of become the scenario, is there a threshold where you go, okay, this is too far back to move? We want to kind of stay in this range. Is there a range for you?
Yeah, as I've said in the past, like, we need to count, the players in certain ranges, and that's, we would feel uncomfortable if we got outside of whatever threshold that is. So again, it's kind of depends on the first couple picks and how they move, and we'll kind of count them up and say, here's the line. We can't go past that.
Do you feel a need to add more picks?
Right.
Feel a need to add more picks going in with only four?
No, I feel really good at where we're at. If that happens, that's great. If we have less, that's whatever we need to do to kind of accomplish what we're setting out to do and improve our football team.
Ryan, you said this kind of for both of you guys. You said that Ian is not a yes man. So how does that, if you could share with us a little bit, how does that process works if he is vehemently disagreeing with something that you're saying, how do you take it all into account? Or if other voices are saying no, Ryan, what do you take it all into account?
Yeah, take it all into account. You want to answer that question?
I don't know how to answer that. I think it was towards you. I don't know. What does the yes man mean?
Yeah, so I think the big thing is you talk about whatever process you're in, if it's a draft of kind of what your standards are, how you want to operate, what you're looking to accomplish, and you lay that out in some type of it's a conversation, but an outline. And there's always situations, oftentimes there's situations that start to push you outside of what you said you wanted to accomplish, what we all agreed as a coaching staff, a front office, what we want to accomplish. And there's things that happen that start to push you outside those lines. And with all of those things happening, sometimes as a leader, you do get distracted. There are things that kind of pull you outside of maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe we need to switch gears. And you need people like Ian, like Flus, like Kevin to say, hey, man, like, we want to accomplish this. We want to stay in these lines. We want to do it this way. And once they kind of see that you're getting off that track, to nudge you back into where you should be. I think I've been fortunate and blessed enough to have the skill set to take in that information, not to take it personal, not to say, well, I'm running the show. Like, it's all about what I want to do. It's listening to the people that you trust so that you stay in the lines of doing things that you how you want to do it and how you want to accomplish your goals.
Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers on Bernstein and Holmes on the Score.
I feel pretty good about just being flexible. That's why we did that project with kind of some premium positions with O-line, with D-line, receiver, and all that feedback was outstanding. Like, it gave you a really good feeling. Like, there's different championship caliber teams that have built their teams in different ways. And it really, I think, solidified just those premium positions are important. So that I'd say, like, those three are there. It matches up with his draft pretty well.
Right, Ryan, there's a lot fewer underclassmen declaring now than there were like 5-6 years ago. How much of that influences your comfort with having 4 picks and also the comfort to move some of the picks that you did to get Bates and Keenan and the guys that you did?
Yeah, I think we both feel comfortable with how the board set based off of the draft class. Each year is different, right? This year, I think there were, I want to say, 58 juniors that declared, to your point, like, each year is different, so we kind of have to work in the constructs of this year with what we have given to us.
How do you look back at the roster that you inherited and that first draft you had, and now here you are in a position where you feel really good about the way the roster is built. And what is the feeling heading into the draft, looking at what you've brought together so far?
Yeah, like, the job's never done, but we have had those conversations, and it does put a smile on your face in terms of the work that we've done. Like, I feel like we've done a good job getting the roster where it is. It makes me feel really fortunate about some of the things that happened to allow us to build the roster maybe a little bit more efficiently than if everything was kind of flat. So it's something to be proud of, but at the same time, you know, the job's not done. I've talked about it before. On paper, it's on paper. Like, you got to play, you got to win games in this league. That's what it comes down to. But we have taken the time just to, for a second, not long, but and we're proud of where we've come from.
How do you all balance the subject? Is the idea of having so few picks, is that, how much does the strength of the current roster play into your comfort level with having that number of picks versus your first couple of years you needed a lot of picks?
Yeah, things shift and change as you go along. It's going to be hard to make this team now. It's going to be really hard to make this team. That doesn't mean you don't want more shots later. We'll always welcome a lot of picks, but it doesn't force you to panic about the situation we're in right now with how many picks we have. So it fits our roster, but it also fits kind of like we just talked about, the current status of this draft, and then moving forward what next year looks like as well.
When you evaluate your needs at defensive line, how do you weigh the impact of a defensive tackle versus an end? And you said, you know, different teams build it different ways. Was part of your evaluation at that position, okay, who did it by going inside first versus getting an edge rusher first?
Yeah, we've talked about inside and outside. Both are multipliers. Generally speaking, I would say the inside guy that has the shortest path to the quarterback. So therefore, like if you have, and we both have lived with really good elite players that are in the inside, and it changes everything, and it opens up a lot for other teams as well. So, yeah, having that interior rush is probably a preference when you have an outside guy. It makes it really difficult to scheme up. So.
Ryan, are you able to shoot
the top 30 visit? The one that where Caleb and some of the other guys were there for that dinner. Guys aren't here yet. Current players. Was it? How did you get guys to come back? Were they volunteering? Was it something that they wanted to be here for? Or was it something that you reached out to them about being a part of?
Yeah, I respect their time. It's the off season, so just if they were available and they wanted to, they could do that. There's a good chunk of the roster that stays here, and there's a good group that, you know, disperses around the country to their kind of off season locations, kind of went through it that way. But there's some guys I had in mind that I think it would be important for to sit down with.
Ryan, are you able to share how many first round grades that you guys have? And then, I guess, like, how do you delineate when you use a top 10 pick outside of the first pick? What does that player have to have to use in order for you to use the ninth pick?
Yeah, I mean, they got to impact the football team from a skill set standpoint. But we always are going to look at some key things when we talk about passion for the game. We talk about coachability, dependability, resilience. Those things are going to be consistent from the first overall pick to, you know, a seventh round draft pick. Like, we want guys that have that. We have an indicator we put on their tag. We put a bear head on their tag because, you know, we call them the grizzly, the top bear. They have those traits. So we're always looking to hit those. And obviously the earlier, you know, in the draft, you want to have those. The other thing too is, you know, we had a good conversation with a Hall of Famer that is one of Ian's mentors, and he said you want the guys in that first round to be the cover of your album. You know, you want those to be the one where everyone can look to that player and be like, all right, what he's made of is what we all need to be a part of. So that's important as well.
In the evaluation process, how do you balance a scenario where maybe you have an opportunity to get the third best prospect at one position versus getting the top prospect at another position?
Say that one more time for me.
Maybe you can get the third best receiver. Maybe you can get the top defensive lineman on your board. How do you balance going about that process in terms of making that decision?
Yeah, that'll come down to all the characteristics that we look like, the skill set, the whole person. We have this long process. Ian and I sit down. We actually sequence the board, one through whatever it is this year, 200, whatever, could be less than that. And we sequence it to kind of sort that part out. So you work your stacks vertically, and then you work horizontal, and you work down the board that way.
Caleb's been very open with his huge goals. Like, what's been your reaction when you've learned that, you know, he wants to, you know, compete with 8 Super Bowls and Tom Brady and all that stuff? Like, what's your reaction when you hear him say stuff like that?
Yeah, I love it. I think we all should have huge goals. We have huge goals here, win multiple championships, and that's what we shoot for. That's you're more intentional when you have these goals that you're shooting. You have to live a certain way. You have to practice a certain way. You have to go about your business a certain way in order to accomplish those. So if everything else is aligned underneath that, that gets me excited.
I know you said that we'll have to wait until Thursday until it becomes official, but you guys only hosted one quarterback on a top 30. Caleb only took one visit to a team. As you go through the homework process, what made you comfortable in going that route of not having some of the other top QBs in here?
Yeah, I would say the different prospects are kind of the journey to collect all that information is different for everyone. There's guys on our board that are high that didn't come in for a 30 visit, that we've had other touch points. Our networks in the building know the player inside and out that we really, really trust. You had the combine. There's different kind of touch points. You don't necessarily have to bring everybody in on a visit.
Right. Ian, you've been a popular candidate around the league in the hiring cycles, but you've stayed here. What has it meant to you to be part of the experience of theoretically now completing the rebuild project here?
It's funny, we've been talking about that a little bit. You know, personally, just extremely grateful for the opportunity. Not many people in any walk of life get to work with arguably one of their best friends, right? And so for me to be able to work alongside him, for him to trust me, we all knew that, you know, this was his goal. I have a similar goal. But it means everything for me just to be able to work with him every single day. I know my opportunity will come. Yeah, it's been fun. It's been a fun ride, and looking forward to this weekend to kind of see things through.
Oh, well, we get it. You guys like each other. That's Ian Cunningham and Ryan Poles.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's great. If we can have a draft bromance going on, all the better. The one statement that I kind of said, ooh, a little spicy there, was it'll be hard to make this team.
Yeah, I wrote that down. It's going to be hard to make this team now. That's a statement that should get Bears fans excited.
Well, you know what that also tells me? If your team's hard to make, you should be in the playoffs.
100%. I mean, look, that's
a confident statement. Back it up.
Yes, it is.
Back
it up. It's a very confident statement. It's also, if you're already reflecting on the rebuilding process being over,
mm-hmm. That means playoffs.
That means that it's okay for fans to push and say, all right, then it's competition window time now, right? Now that the rebuild's over and Thursday you get your quarterback.
There's a lot of back padding going on right now. There's a lot of mission accomplished back padding going on here.
Get your bomber jacket and a thing.
Yeah. Stand there on the deck of the carrier. So now.
Not going to get fooled again.
Now you can do it. Tune in Thursday, 5 to 9 p.m. after the Cubs game. Wall-to-wall coverage of round one of the NFL draft. It's the Parkins and Spiegel draft special live from Detroit, including expert analysis from Dave Wonstad and Patrick Manley. Tune in on The Score or the Odyssey app. You can also watch the Parkins and Spiegel draft special on Twitch, on X, Twitter, YouTube. Draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. While we mentioned before that there is a
Bars.
PR strategy firm that initially sent out the release saying that the Bears and civic leaders are holding a press conference tomorrow at Soldier Field.
And maybe the mayor, although I would suggest he not go.
Yeah, maybe. We don't really know. I don't know why it wasn't the Bears that initially announced.
Or City Hall.
It's for it to be a
weird, right?
A third party PR firm that's announcing this.
I just went on the Bears website before the segment. It's not in, they have like, you know, top headlines. It's not anywhere in their top headlines either on their website.
Strange. Meanwhile, it appears like Crane's Chicago Business, its primary responsibility now is a Jerry Reinsdorf mouthpiece. I don't know how that happened, but I'm just, they seem to exist to always be there to frame whatever Jerry has to say as a business news story. And apparently the news is now, it's like, oh, well, we're asking for public money, but we didn't say that we weren't going to invest
give some of that money.
Read the room, man.
Give you some dollars.
Read the room.
Yeah, be fine. We'll discuss that next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Look, we're not going to be any Ohtani race. I'll tell you that right now. Give you.
Well, that was That was some private investment that they didn't want to make. And after the initial gambit at public money fell out of the sky like a lead balloon, now he's trying another one. Now he leaks it to the friendly folks at Cranes who do his bidding to say, oh, well, I mean, we're obviously it's going to be public money involved. Well, this whole ham-handed rollout here isn't working.
Let me read it to people so that they have an understanding of what we're talking about, okay? With the Chicago Bears ramping up their campaign for a new lakefront stadium, White Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf is upping the ante for a second proposed new stadium in the South Loop that he wants a state agency to build and lease to the Sox. In a written statement, a source close to Reinsdorf said that despite earlier media reports indicating Reinsdorf wants the Illinois Sports Facilities Authority to front the entire $1.25 billion is said to be needed for the new ballpark, quote, we never said there would not be White Sox investment in the potential development. To the contrary, the statement continued. We have been looking at several scenarios which would, under the right conditions, involve significant private investment. But as everyone knows, this is an evolving situation. And once we have a clear, definitive path, we will have a clear, definitive commitment. The statement added, we are aware of the importance of the overall package, beginning with the incredible benefits a new stadium at the 78 would bring to the city, close quote. I want to go back to something because I, just from a journalistic standpoint, I don't like this. In a written statement, a source close to Reinsdorf, we're allowing not Jerry to hand in a written statement. Now we're taking written statements from a source close to Reinsdorf. That's odd to me. Like, that's an odd journalistic choice to me. Why even allow this person to give you a statement, no matter how close they are to Jerry, instead of saying a source has indicated blah, 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 blah. It's meant like I find this,
or you write it on background based on your sourcing. You don't even have to say that part.
I find this to be deceptive because it makes you think that this is a statement from Jerry Reinsdorf or from the White Sox. It is neither. From a journalistic standpoint, I don't like it. You were saying
they got enough blowback from the initial round of this that this is damage control. And it isn't successful damage control. There's no specifics. Well, contrary to what people believe, no, we heard you.
No, we know exactly what you're trying to do.
We heard you fine.
Yeah.
There isn't anything lost in the message here.
The governor made it very clear what it is you're trying to do.
Everybody made it clear. And you got slapped down. And now you go back, you lick your wounds, and you come back with, well, we'll give you some money. No. And what does it have to do with the Bears? I don't understand why.
Everyone's trying to get that hotel money, and the White Sox want to get to it before the Bears do. And the Bears want to get to it before the White Sox do. That's what it has to do with the Bears.
Everybody's coming to the trough to feed.
Yep. And the Red Stars and whoever else wants it. There's something else in here that really bothered me. And I'm going to read you the statement first, so the end of the piece, and then I want to tell you why it really bothers me. Reinsdorf earlier told Cranes the team's current home at Guaranteed Rate Field in Bridgeport has not worked out, and he needs to move to be successful. Reinsdorf, 88, said he has no plans to sell the team, but indicated that his son might well do so after he dies unless the team has a long-term lease that would keep it in Chicago.
So first it was unknown outsider.
Carpetbaggers that are coming in.
The scary ogre, the boogeyman, woo, scary, scary outside owner was going to come in and then whisk the team away. Now
it's Michael.
Now he's sitting right here.
Now Michael gets bus tossed. Like, I never said I was going to.
He's like, well, Michael could do it. Like, what?
That's messed up.
Come on.
Like,
because the team's getting sold.
That tactic is messed up of, well, I'm the only one that's going to save it. And let me
give me money.
Yeah. Let me just remind the audience, too. I'm going to go back over this last line here. Reinsdorf 88 said he has no plans to sell the team, but indicated that his son might well do so after he dies unless the team has a long-term lease that would keep it in Chicago.
No,
You do have a long-term lease that keeps you in Chicago. It's over at 35th and Shields. So I don't want to hear any of this nonsense. Creating a boogeyman that's going to come in and move the White Sox. Creating your son as boogeyman that when you die, he's going to sell and move the White Sox. Unless you have a long-term lease in Chicago. You do.
He's also not in charge of selling. You know, he and his brother have been buying up a lot of shares, but the agreement was in place a long time ago of what was going to happen here. There are a lot of limited partners, a lot of Jerry's partners that are into this because they know and have held on to this, and they haven't sold for pennies on the dollar to the next generation of Reinsdorfs. Because they're waiting for their payday because of the understanding, the agreement that it was going to be sold. So, come on. What are we doing here? That's public knowledge.
Yep.
It just looks, it's a day late and it's many, many, many dollars short.
The other thing is this. You listen to this show, you watch this show. You know, I'm wearing a hoodie. Dan, you're wearing like real pants today, right?
They're fleece.
I get that sports radio is not usually the place that people come for journalism lessons. We understand that. I don't like that particularly, and I haven't been as staunch about this as you have when it comes to Cranes. Cranes used to be a place that felt a lot more definitive and less for sale than it is felt during all of this stuff that's been going on with Jerry Reinsdorf. Where are your bleeping teeth? Where are your teeth, Cranes? Because this ain't it. This thing that you're doing where you're taking all sorts of liberties from a journalistic standpoint, you're not asking hard questions, or at least those hard questions are not reflected in your coverage. Do better on this. There are plenty of other places you can look, and I get it. The toy department doing the sports radio is the one telling Cranes about journalism. This is trash. This is beneath the standard that you have set. You have allowed yourself to become a PR arm for Jerry Reinsdorf, and it's sad. Do better.
Journalism is reporting what someone doesn't want reported. All else is public relations.
All I would like for them to do is when they're putting pieces out, when questioned, like just have some level of journalistic curiosity. Like, I honestly can't believe that they ran with multiple paragraphs of a statement from someone who is not Jerry Reinsdorf. Like, I am stunned by that. You one-sourced this? You one-sourced this without it being Jerry. If it's Jerry, great. If you did get the sit-down with Jerry and Jerry tells you all of this, fine. You one source this? You let a source sent you a statement that you then printed pretty much verbatim without any pushback at all. It never came up in the editing of this piece that perhaps you should dig a little bit deeper and maybe get another source. You just took a statement and printed it. That is weak sauce. And they should be ashamed. And yeah, it's the toy department at the sports radio station that's telling you that. And that should let you know how badly you messed this up.
That's Lawrence Holmes. I'm Dan Bernstein. It's the Bernstein and Holmes Show. An odd occurrence at a Yankee game involved a fan yelling something and then the manager subsequently ejected. We'll explain next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Join The Score and Budweiser on Thursday, May 2nd at Harry Carey's Tavern, Navy Pier for the 26th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey. Parkinson Spiegel will be there, broadcasting live from 4 to 7 p.m. with actor and comedian Jason Alexander leading the toast at 5:30. You'll also have a chance to register to win tickets to a future Cubs home game. The Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey is brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you.
So there was a weird thing that happened yesterday to Aaron Boone. He got thrown out of a game for something that he didn't say. Nor did someone on his bench say, nor did anyone in the batter's box or the batting circle say. He got thrown out of a game for something a fan said. Huh. There was reaction to that.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay?
Oh, okay, Hunter.
Wow. You know what? Wow. We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear.
Well,
there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything. Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word. Hunter Wendelstadt with some aggressive rabbit ears, one batter into this game.
All right. Well, it was, they even identified on the video, it's a guy in a blue shirt that yells, and Wendelstadt turns around and throws out Aaron Boone.
And you can see, like, during the broadcast, the camera is on Aaron Boone.
Yes.
You see him just standing there.
Right.
And then he gets tossed.
Now, here's the other problem. This is what Wendelstadt said afterward. Here's his quote. Aaron Boone is the manager of the New York Yankees and is responsible for everything that happens in that dugout. I don't want to eject a ball player. We need to keep them in the game. That's what fans pay to see. Aaron Boone runs the Yankees. He got ejected. Apparently what he said was there was a fan right above the dugout. This isn't my first ejection. In the entirety of my career, I've never ejected a player or manager for something a fan has said.
You have now.
I understand it's going to be part of the story or something like that, because that's what Aaron was portraying. I heard something come from the far end of the dugout, had nothing to do with his area, but he's the manager of the Yankees, so he's the one that had to go.
What? That is terrible.
Come on. How about, sorry, I screwed up?
I thought it was Aaron. It wasn't Aaron. Because if it was someone in the dugout, identify who it was in the dugout and throw them out.
Right. Just say
of the game.
I'm sorry, I made a mistake.
That's all you have to do.
I feel bad about it. It sucks. It was silly. I overreacted.
I thought it was Aaron. It came from that direction. I thought it was him. It wasn't him. I messed up. Period.
But just
come on, man.
Come on, Hunter.
This reminds me of intramurals, man.
What? What are we doing here? We
Dan.
What happened?
Playing in intramurals, freshman, a team full of freshmen, intramural football. You know, I was in my bag back then, man.
Okay.
19, I can still move. I can definitely throw.
Off-platform throws, scramble drill.
My nickname at DePaul was Slash. Anyway.
It was because of your guitar wizard.
That's and the hat, the big hat.
the giant top hat.
I would wear that around campus.
Yep.
We beat, like, the most athletic team, like the group of, like, juniors and seniors that were amazing, including a guy named Dave Dopek, who's a track coach now, who eventually we ended up being on the same team. But the guy that could absolutely fly. And we beat them. The next game, we were playing, like, the staff. Like, these guys were champion level. And I knew that we were going to get the screw job because the quarterback of that team was Mike Lenti.
Oh, a Lenti.
And the referee of the game was Eugene Lenti.
Oh, you got Lentied.
So get this. The guys that we beat, the really good team, they stayed on the sidelines because they wanted us to beat the old guys. And we're beating them. And then someone on the sideline, it may have even been Dave Dopek, said something, and we got flagged for it. And so I'm like, why are we getting flagged for something that bystanders are watching? It completely took our group of freshmen out of the game. We lost our heads.
Play over it.
I tried.
Come on, Slash.
I tried.
Come on, Slash.
We tried to play over it, but we couldn't. And we lost. And man, I'll never
freshmen.
Forgive them.
Must be because they were freshmen.
It must be.
Gotta be.
We're a bunch of plucky freshmen.
Parkinson.
We almost
Spiegel
won it all.
We'll join
Take
us
that, Hunter Wendelstedt.
Next on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.